Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Monday, April 12, and may the Lord bless our time together as we continue in John chapter 19, looking at the aftermath of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and particularly the account of Joseph of Arimathea and the lesson that true disciples of Christ cannot remain secret disciples forever. They may start out that way, but they cannot remain that way. God will move them out into the open. And that's what happened with Joseph of Arimathea. He came to the forefront and showed courage at a time when all of the other disciples of Jesus Christ were showing lack of courage and shrinking into the background. And so we read in John 19:38, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus." And so here is this man, Joseph of Arimathea, who turns out to be a member of the Sanhedrin, one of the 70 leading elders in the nation of Israel, a wealthy man, a man who had come to believe in Jesus Christ and truly believe in Jesus Christ, but had been unwilling to publicly identify himself with Christ because of what the repercussions of that would be upon his position and what the other Jews might do to him, he knew not. But when the time came when his discipleship was needed, when somebody needed to take charge and give the body of Christ a decent burial, and it was obvious that there was nobody else to do it, and it was obvious to him that God had given him the resources to do that, the financial resources, the relationship resources. He had contacts in Jewish society that would make it likely that Pilate would grant his request. He stepped forward boldly and publicly identified himself with Christ and did what needed to be done at that time. And all of that reminds us that God is not bound by human failure. The other disciples may have forsook Christ and fled, but God is able to raise up others. In fact, he had been raising up another one all of this time. And at the proper time, he gently pushes him out into the forefront. Oh, dear child of God, don't doubt God. Don't dishonor God by doubting his ability to raise up men to do his work. He knows how to do that. I think one of the most encouraging verses in all the Bible is Acts 16:1, and that is not generally quoted as a significant text in the Bible, but it struck me as an amazingly significant text many years ago and has never left my estimation in that regard. And what is it? Acts 16:1, "Then came he," that is Paul, "to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." Paul is coming back, revisiting on his second missionary journey, churches that had been established on the first missionary journey, and he comes into this area of Derbe and Lystra, twin cities close together, and behold, we read, "a certain disciple was there named Timotheus." Now, every student of God's Word knows the significance of Timothy. he turned out to be the most faithful, the most dependable, the most significant companion and successor to the Apostle Paul in the work of the gospel. But Paul didn't know he was there. Paul wasn't expecting to find him. Paul didn't apparently know anything about him. He came to the churches and behold, here it is. Surprise, surprise is what I read into that word. Surprise, surprise. Here's a certain disciple named Timothy, and it goes on to tell us that he was highly recommended by the churches. Now, because of other language that Paul uses elsewhere, people have surmised that Timothy was a convert of Paul, that Paul had personally led Timothy to a saving knowledge of Christ. For Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. Well, there's no real way to tell, because there is no record of Timothy's conversion. We know something about his background, and Paul tells us in 2 Timothy that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make one wise unto salvation. That, of course, refers to the Old Testament Scriptures. We just don't know how Timothy came from being a son of Abraham to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. We know that he had a godly mother and grandmother, who obviously were true believers in the Old Testament Jewish sense, and became believers in Jesus as the Messiah in the New Testament Christian sense. And of course, all of that had an influence upon Timothy, and Timothy was reared up in this godly Jewish background with the Old Testament Scriptures. And when Paul came through and preached that Jesus was the Christ, and there were many who believed, undoubtedly at that time Timothy's mother and grandmother believed. Did Timothy believe at that time? If he did, it doesn't sound like Paul knew anything about him. If he had believed at that time on that first missionary journey and had shown promise as an outstanding young man, an outstanding follower of Jesus Christ with potential for the ministry, that seems to have all been lost on Paul on that first missionary journey. The language of Acts 16 seems to indicate that when Paul came back through on his second missionary journey, here was something totally unexpected. Here was a young man, saved and already having grown and becoming a very serious and mature disciple of Jesus Christ with a lot of potential for the gospel ministry. And the church recognized that, but Paul didn't know anything about it. Behold, a disciple named Timotheus. In other words, God raised him up unknown to Paul. I don't think Paul did personally lead him to Christ. I think Paul preached the gospel, and Timothy may have heard the gospel directly from the lips of Paul and believed, but he was a young man, and his decision to follow Christ, and I put that word decision in parentheses or put it in quotation marks, wasn't registered. Paul didn't know about it. They didn't have the kind of procedures then that we have now. Paul hadn't issued an evangelistic invitation in the style of the 20th and 21st century. Timothy had not walked an aisle. Timothy had not raised a hand. Timothy had not gone to an inquiry room. Paul had not dealt personally with Timothy and led him in the sinner's prayer. Timothy, from all evidence, was unknown to Paul. Maybe totally unknown, or at least, if he was known, he was just simply known as, yes, the son and grandson of Eunice and Lois, and a fine young man, I'm sure. But as far as any significance for the Christian ministry, as far as any recognition of outstanding Christian faith, all that seems to have been lost to the Apostle Paul in the first missionary journey. But Timothy was saved. And he did grow. And he did develop. And God worked in his heart and gave him a passion, not only for Christ, but for the Word of God and for the ministry of God's Word. And by the time Paul came back on his second missionary journey, the churches were ready to recommend Timothy to him as a potential trainee, as an intern, as a helper. Why don't you take him with you and use him in the gospel ministry? That will be profitable to you. You see, The verse goes on, Acts 16:2, which was well reported of by the brethren which were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek, and so forth. And that's how Timothy becomes a partner, I guess you'd say, with Paul. At this point, I think partner would be too strong a term. That's how Timothy became a helper to Paul. That's how Timothy became attached to Paul. That's how Timothy became a missionary, and basically just a missionary trainee. That's how Paul took Timothy on board and became a mentor to Timothy. And Timothy continued to grow and develop and became, as I said earlier, the most significant helper and companion and partner and successor to Paul in the work of the gospel. He became all of those things. But Paul hadn't identified him. Paul hadn't selected him. Paul hadn't trained him initially to bring him to this point where he was already became outstanding and recognized as such by his home church. All of that was totally unknown to Paul. Paul was oblivious to it all. That was the work of God, the sovereign work of God. As far as Paul was concerned, the secret work of God. Now, it wasn't secret to his home church, but it was secret to Paul. But God, and here's the point again, God knows how to raise up men to do his work. As Christ crucified and all of his apostles and virtually all of his disciples have turned heels and run, have melted into the background, are afraid to be publicly identified with Christ at this time, all of their faith seemingly has been drained out of them, nearly all of it, not all of it, but nearly all of it. All of their courage has been drained out of them. Nearly all of their hope has been drained out of them. And very little faith left, just a scintilla of faith left. Are all of these people that you might have thought you could count on in this hour utterly devastated and unable to help at this time? God is not poor. God is not dependent upon the people that we know about. God's arm is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. God knows how to raise up men to do his work. God has many people in many places. We just don't know about them all. There's something about our inclinations that if we don't know about somebody, or what should I say, if we aren't familiar with somebody, we figure they aren't anybody. You hear somebody new on the radio, and sounds like he's preaching the word, preaching the truth, but I never heard of him before, so he can't really be of any count, can't be of any significance here, because I never heard of him. I don't know about him. He hasn't been in my circle, hasn't been in my group, therefore he can't amount to much. Shame, shame, shame. We've all thought that way at times. Shame, shame, shame. Don't dishonor God by doubting his ability to raise up men to do his work at the time that they are needed. Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.